I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 96. Oh, it's been a tough one getting here, but let's get the formalities out of the way. BartCop.com, Bart Cop Radio. Okay, formalities out the way. I'll tell you what, it's been a rough couple of weeks, however long it's been. The sound card shut down again. Had to pay the tech boy again to come back. Apparently this Emu sound card, it just goes funny. First time he came in and he turned off the automatic mute signal. Now, I don't know why a sound card would need an automatic mute on it, but it's got one, so we had to override that. Second time it shut down, it restarted itself or something, and it came up with different, what they call those, presets or whatever. Anyway, he showed me how to reset the defaults, which I shouldn't have to do. It was a damn expensive piece of equipment. It's not like a sound card like $60. Thank you. No, this is... $300-$400, it's a whole bunch of machines. You got to go in here and go out there and do all it. It's just a big, damn complicated thing, but like the space shuttle, you know, the more pieces it has, the more parts it has, the more there is to go wrong. And in Oklahoma, the power gets interrupted constantly because Oklahoma is some backwards brogue to where you can't get anything done. And then when something breaks, there's only, I'm lucky to find the one guy in the city that knows how to turn the damn thing back on, but it would be so nice to have equipment that actually worked. It's just one thing after another. Oh, and on top of that, we had the sick cats. We got the 105 degrees. You know, I'm starting to rethink about the 105 degrees and the whining about it because don't have to wear 40 pounds of body armor. Don't have sand fleas or chiggers, whatever they are, eat me alive. And I haven't seen a couple of my friends murdered in the last 30 days. And I don't have bullets whizzing by my head. And I'm not eating out of some damn can, you know. So, yeah, things could be a lot worse. So remind me, when I whine about the weather, remind me that I'm not in Baghdad. That'll help. And there's probably 100 things I'm going to forget, but I wanted to say this one thing. Somewhere I have the clip. If I have the clip, maybe I'll go back and tear this out. But it's been so long since the last show. We got, you know, 700 clips, and it's hard to... organize them all because you got to do it in real time. I need to talk to my DJ friends, my other radio host friends, and find out how in the hell they do that. How do you organize a million quotes? It's just hard to do. But anyway, so our new friend Ned Lamont. Most of this show was recorded pre-Lamont victory. And I'm doing this now, as you might be able to guess, after the Lamont victory. And I wanted to tell you something I saw. He was on the Colbert Report. And he said something that just was a damn impressive. I stood up, yelled, yes, and put my damn fist in the air. Mrs. Bart, I think she was right behind me. She couldn't believe we actually heard her and say this. But Colbert was kind of, you know how he pretends he's a Republican. He says, so what's with you, Lamont? What makes you think you're qualified? Why are you trying to push a respected man like Lieberman out of the race? And he said, George Bush is driving this country into a ditch. And if Joe Lieberman doesn't want to stop him, I will. That's when I jumped out of my chair and pumped my fist here and said, yes, because God damn, it's about time someone with some plain talk, none of this junk here. Oh, the failures and the wishes. No, Lamont said, Bush has run the country into a ditch. Lieberman won't stop him. I will. And my God, you know, see, he's not in the Senate yet, so he's still able to speak. He's still able to communicate like a human being. Because once you get in the Senate, I don't know if you take a blood oath or you get infected or something, but once you get in the Senate, you're no longer able to speak like a human being. You start talking that John Kerry bullshit. And Lamont so far hasn't had that problem. So, being a, you know, we got the facts on our side. If people would just plain speak the facts, we can win every election. It's so easy. They just refuse to do it. Okay, big show. Don't know if this is going to be a one disker or a 15 disker. I've got 35, 40 hours of audio tape lined up. You know, if I could get the damn sound card to stop breaking down. That's, I need a full-time engineer. I need a full-time producer to give me quotes. Well, I could do more than one radio show per millennium if things would just quit breaking down, shit happening all over the place. I could give you the whole list of what went wrong, but you don't want to hear that. It's supposed to be a comedy show. We're going to try our best to make it one. Good comedy always starts with some fine tequila. Let's get that out the way. Oh, wow, that's a big one. Dumbass, you're not supposed to do that much. You're just supposed to do a little sip. Well, that sure was good, though. I might have to do some more of that before this show's over. Okay, no more delays. Let's do it. Boom.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. What's the big secret from energy meeting? Why do you keep it quiet unless you know you've been cheating? A racket 9-11 is a little misleading. Fat cash gotta keep feeding. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. Give it to the rich, give it to the right. $2,000 a plate for dinner. We're in the war and punishing sinners. Do you feel God like striking your pole?
Oil refiners. Valero Energy, the America's number one oil refiner, said second quarter profit more than doubled on heavy demand for motor fuels. Oh, I didn't know. Third quarter earnings should surpass estimates. Valero earned $2 billion last year. Stock fell 43 cents. I don't know why. Marathon Oil also said second quarter profit more than doubled on the string on strong oil prices and sharply higher refining margins. Yeah, exactly. Someone forgot and put the truth in here. Sharply higher refining margins. That means what used to cost 50 cents, they sharply raised it to a buck. If you don't like it, ride a bike. Go to hell. George Bush is president. We're untouchable. Blow me. That's what the energy companies are telling us. Sons of bitches. Marathon earned $1.8 billion, up from $600 million last year. Well, so they used to make $600 million. Poor baby. Can't get by. Now they're making a healthy $1.8 billion. You know, one of these sons of bitches. You know, sometimes they're good with numbers. I remember the number, but not the context. But I think they said one of these bastards is making $55,000 per hour in pure profit. $55,000 profit per hour. And that's why me and you are getting screwed, because they're not content with $10,000 an hour profit. That'd be pretty good. No, they want $55,000 per hour profit. That's not sales. That's profit. Money in the bank. Money in their pocket. Money from George Bush. Thank you, Mr. Bush. You're the best oil man America ever had in the White House. Here I see a headline, Sirius, with a S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius. Sirius loss grows despite revenue increase. Satellite radio company's expenses up 68%. Well, I have a theory. You know, what if you had to buy one TV to watch CBS, and you had to buy another TV to watch NBC, and you had to buy another TV to watch ABC, etc., etc., etc.? No, you don't have to do that. You buy a TV, and they make their programs fit that format. But no, the people in the satellite industry, they're wanting to make money off the sale of the radio, too. They're greedy. The greedy sons of bitches are going to put themselves out of business. If you could buy, like right now, I have XM. I've had it for a couple of years. If I would like to get Howard Stern, but I'm not going to sign up with two satellite companies, especially the sons of bitches. They make the price of the radio so high that you're kind of committed, and I don't want to spend $100 or $200 on a radio and then find out that Howard's show blows, or maybe there's nothing else that I like. Seems like you get all the football games on Sirius. You get all the baseball games on XM. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. This is what happens when you get lawyers involved. The lawyers are here to screw things up. If you ask the radio guys or the sports fans or radio listeners. You know, if you ask any normal people, how do you do this? They say, get one radio and then let whoever wants to produce programming get on the radio. But no, they can't do it. That you got to buy their radio at their price from their company. So right now I don't get serious. I don't get Stern. Maybe that's a big loss. Maybe it's not. But they're trying to screw this up, and I think they're going to succeed. XM is also losing money. Big, big time. Now, how do they do that? They run commercials over and over and over. Yet when I tried to advertise with them, they said either $5,000 or $10,000 minimum. Hello? You got that kind of money that it's $5,000 or $10,000 minimum, and you're going broke. Good thinking, guys. And you run them same damn commercials again and again, 5 times an hour, the same commercial. You get stuck in a car to listen to XM radio, and you're going to be pulling your hair out before you get to grandma's house just because the same commercial. Oh, and God, they get that that head on. You apply it directly to your head, head on. I'm just ready to strangle somebody at that point, and I'm not really a violent man. But it just drives me nuts. The repetition, it just drives me crazy. So they don't want to make money. They want to stand there and lose money. Maybe this is a billionaire tax loophole, tax dodge, tax loss write-off kind of thing.
Is this where L. Ron Hubbard is? Oh, my God!
Yes, John Travolta and Tom Cruise are big Scientologists. Do you believe me now? Young man, I know you don't remember it, but your name was L. Ron Hubbard. You revealed a secret which began the whole Church of Scientology. Okay, Stan, it's late. Go up to your room and get ready for bed. Let Mommy and Daddy handle this.
Jesus Christ.
L. Ron? L. Ron! It really is you! Oh, this is the greatest day of my life.
Dude, I need to go to bed.
Don't you understand, L. Ron? It's me, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Well, haven't I done well, L. Ron? Haven't you enjoyed my acting? Which film did you like best?
Well, I mean, you're not like as good as Leonardo DiCaprio, but you're okay, I guess.
What?
I mean, you're not Gene Hackman or that guy that played Napoleon Dynamite, but you're okay.
I'm nothing. I'm a failure in the eyes of the prophet! Ah!
Hey! Dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it!
Go away!
Dude, this is my room!
Go away, I said!
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
What?
Tom Cruise locked himself in my closet and he won't come out!
Mr. Cruise? Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet!
No!
Come on, Mr. Cruise, this is ridiculous.
I'm never coming out!
What did you say to him?
I just told him I thought Napoleon Dynamite guy was a better actor than he is.
Oh, boy. Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
What's going on?
Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet.
What?
Just leave me alone!
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet! It's been 4 hours now, and Tom Cruise still will not come out of the closet. Hundreds of onlookers have gathered here in hopes that the celebrity will finally give in.
Tom Cruise, this is Park County Police. Please come out of the closet. Everybody here just wants you to come out of the closet, Tom. Nobody's going to be mad. Everything's going to be all right. Just come out of the closet.
We've sent Nicole Kidman up there to see if she can help.
Tom? Tom, it's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Tom, don't you think this has gone on long enough? It's time for you to come out of the closet.
I'm not in the closet.
Yes, you are, Tom. And you need to just end this and come out. I'm not going to think any differently of you. Katie's not going to think any differently of you. You don't need to be in that closet anymore, Tom.
I'm not in here, though.
Yes, you are.
I'm not in the closet.
Then how am I talking to you, Tom? Tom, you can't hide forever just because the reincarnation of L. Ron Hubbard doesn't like your acting. Come out of the closet, Tom. You're not fooling anyone.
All right, now we're going to talk about something similar yet different. Oh, here we go. Chevron's second quarter profit hits record high. Chevron said Friday its second quarter soared to new high. The California-based company earned $4.3 billion. That represents an 18% increase from net income of $3.6 billion last quarter. I'm sorry, the same quarter last year. It marks the largest three-month profit in Chevron's 127. Well, yeah, they've been in business 127 years. They've never made the kind of profits they're making now. because America has an illegal oil man in the White House, and the Democrats don't want to say anything about it. Those bastards. Revenue for the period was $53 billion, up from $48 billion last year. Well, sure, if you got a monopoly, just raise the price. Hey, guess what? Your baby's crying, he wants milk? $25 a bottle. $25 a bottle for your baby. You don't like it? Let the baby die. We don't care. We're the oil companies. We don't have to care. And on a similar yet unrelated thing, here's a headline from, I think this is from the dreaded Tulsa World, which is, you know, Tulsa World is a right-wing Republican newspaper, but every day they get letters. Oh, you're just Clinton's go-boy. You're just a tool of the left. And every year, every presidential election, they always recommend the Republican. They always endorse the Republican, but yet they're a tool of the left, like everything. Just scream tool of the left at something long enough, and they'll turn into Fox News just to prove you're not. They're not. Okay, headline, future of Iraq oil uncertain. Oh, I don't think that's true at all. I think the future of Iraq's oil is damn certain. We know exactly where it's going. By Ryan Lenz, L-E-N-Z, Associated Press whore. Baghdad, Iraq. Pipelines carrying crude oil through Iraq's unguarded desert. Objection, 130,000 men in Iraq. And there's, what, 45 of them in Baghdad? The other 129,000 are guarding that pipeline. How dare you lie to me, Ryan Lenz? I've known you less than a minute. You're a lying son of a bitch. Pipelines carrying crude oil through Iraq's unguarded desert suddenly collapse after weeks without disruption, a single bullet puncturing a line, halting Iraq's main source of oil revenue. Ryan, did you see the bullet hole yourself? Did you observe the pipeline pumping oil for several weeks and then you saw the bullet hole and then you saw him have to shut it down? No. Every word you've written so far was hand-fed to you by the Iraqi oil ministry, which is George Bush's cronies. You son of a bitch. You're not giving us the news. You're an extension of the White House. You're the White House press release people. You're Karl Rove's whipping boy. You do what you're told. You're Steno Ryan. Whatever they tell you, these are the facts. I know for sure. I'll put my Ryan Lenz reputation on these facts are true. And then when he's caught, he goes, well, Karl said so. At the same time, daily bloodshed is pushing the country closer to a civil war. There's two dynamics at work in Iraq. The quest for prosperity amid endless struggle for security tug firmly on Iraq's future and U.S. oil and U.S. involvement here. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. None of that's true. It's all bullshit.
Do you know what the president's response to a serious question about rising violence in the Middle East and escalation in Israel and Lebanon? His, I swear I will quote him. Actually, you know, why quote him when I have the audio? Let's just, this will be cut 9 if you don't mind. Shall we just play this? Because if I tell you what he said, you won't believe me. And you know what? If I were listening to talk radio and I heard what I'm about to say to you, if I heard it from, you know, any talk, I would say that can't be true. So let's take the guesswork out and we'll just play you what he said. Here's the question.
Does it concern you that the Beirut airport has been bombed? And do you see a risk of triggering a wider war? And on Iran, they've so far refused to respond. Is it now past the deadline, or do they still have more time to respond?
I thought you were going to ask about the pig.
I thought you were going to ask about the pig. Bush said before this, I understand that I may have the honor of slicing the pig. There apparently was a pig roast for dinner. And then when the German reporter asked about the Beirut airport and do you see it triggering a wider war, he said, I thought you were going to ask me about the pig. And then when a German reporter asked about the general state of the Middle East, he said, I haven't seen the pig yet. Then, later on in the evening, when they got to the pig roast, he carved the pig. There was a band playing. He went and led the band, took the baton out of the band leader's hand, started leading the band, When the band leader took the baton back, the President of the United States went into the orchestra, tapped the flute player on her shoulder, giving her a start, according to the AP, and then offered Condi up to play the organ. Who's supposed to be in charge of the presidential Ritalin? No, seriously, we cannot have the president in this chaotic world global situation bouncing off the walls. Give my president the Ritalin!
The Randy Rhoads Show, number one on the NSA's most listened to list.
Sheriff murdered! Innocent women and children blown to bits! We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Immediately, immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor a harumph.
Harumph.
You watch your ass.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
Here, are you ready for another scary thought? Get your scary hat out, because here he comes with a scary thought. I think it would be in Bush's best interest to make Iraq another Iran. Because why invade Iran if you can't steal their oil? And you can't steal their oil if people are watching. How do you prevent people from watching? You turn it into Iraq. You just turn the entire country into one giant piece of crap, beheading, hand job, scary as hell place to be, so nobody can show up. Nobody, just like this idiot telling me how a single bullet pierced the pipeline and caused the disruption. He doesn't know that. That's what the government told him. That's what Bush told him. That's what the oil men said. The reason we have no oil is, the reason your oil is $60, $75 a tank now instead of $25 is, I don't need to know why. I just need for the price to come down, but that's not going to happen. As long as they can supply a reason. I read today or yesterday, they shut down their Prudhoe Bay. You know why? Because there was some degradation found. Oh, in the oil spill. Uh-oh, was it a big oil spill? Those evil oil companies? No, they figured 4 to 5 barrels that was quickly cleaned up. But they said the pipeline's rusty. They might have lost a weld or something, so they had to shut it down. They say that's 8% of America's energy, so prices, guess what, are going up again. And the reason is, fill in the blank, oil's going to 90 next week. And the reason is, don't matter, fill in the blank. Just ask Karl Rove what the reason was. And then oil's going to $100 in September. And the reason is, don't matter, whatever the White House says, that's why. Which Bart's Law is it? I think it's number 2. Anytime you can make a mistake and profits roll in, expect that person to make more mistakes. Every time they shut down a pipeline, every time they shut down a refinery, the price goes up. They make more money for doing less work. So think about that. Take a guy like old Bart, let's say. Lately, I've been pretty good about putting out 5 issues a week. And I'm getting paid X, we'll say. What if I went to 3 issues a week and was paid 2X? So if I went to 2 issues a week and was paid 4X, well, then by God, we're going to 1 issue a week, and I expect 10X. The less work I do, the more money comes in. That's how they set this up. Oh, we made a mistake. Oh, our welds weren't so good, so the price is going up. Our profits are going up because we made a mistake. Every time we make a mistake, profits go up. So guess what? More mistakes are coming. More mistakes are, to be cute, in the pipeline. And here they come. We scheduled a mistake for September, 2 in October, 3 in November, 4 in December. By January, oil will be $120 a barrel. And the reason is, fill in the blank. Just ask Mr. Rove to, we had a refinery fire in Louisiana. We had a bullet hole south of Baghdad. We had a rusty weld at Prudhoe Bay. And that's why the price is going up. Plus, we got those awful Chinese. We got those awful Indians. The saber rattlers in Iran, which is really Bush. And all the trouble in the Middle East, which is Bush. That's why the price of gas is going up through the roof. And it's going to keep going and keep going. But isn't it amazing? If Lamont wins, Now, I'm recording this the day before the Lamont-Lieberman primary. So by the time you hear this, I'm not going to make a prediction because I'm suspecting an effing to come our way because they said Lieberman was 10 to 14 points behind last week. Now, the day before the election, they're saying Lieberman's only 6 points behind, and that's a statistical dead heat. So what they're telling us is no matter how far behind Lieberman is, he's going to win on Tuesday. That's what they're telling us. Now, like I say, you're probably not going to hear this till Wednesday or Thursday. I can't possibly get this up in time. But when Lieberman goes from 10 to 14 points down to 6, we'll call it a tie. Sounds to me like they're going to pull a little Diebold magic on Joe Mentum there. And that will prove that America loves this war. Go ahead, Mr. President. We're all rubber stamping anything you want to do. Would you please invade Iran too? Could you steal $400 million a day instead of $200 million a day? Please, Mr. President. We're right with you, Mr. President. Stay the course. Keep them coming. Bring it on. We want more war. We want more terror, more beheadings, more invasions. We want more tax cuts for the rich. Please, can we get the federal government off the backs of the super rich with their inheritance tax? You know how often me and you inherit $600 or $800 million and you got to pay taxes on it? Oh, that's such a drag to be handed $800 million and you got to pay taxes on it. Oh, what a drag. Oh, that's so awful. Meanwhile, the little people making $30,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 a year, they get a bill on April 15th. They got to write a check. The super rich, you know, and it just keeps on going. Bill Clinton already showed us how you solve the problems. He's done it. It's in the past. It's not like this is some experiment. We're waiting to see what happens. Bill Clinton cut taxes on the little guy. So they all went and bought shit. And then inventories dropped. And then they had to hire people to create more stuff because demand was big. But when the super rich get a tax cut, all they can buy is another yacht, another Rolls Royce, maybe a summer home in Phoenix or Scottsdale. So fine, a few people, 30 people get work because they're building a mansion in Scottsdale. But if the little guy had a tax break, all of a sudden you got 3,000 families want a house. Now instead of one mansion, you're building 3,000 houses. You got to have a crew of, say, 12, 15 people in each house. Wango bango, you got 15,000 extra jobs created just in Scottsdale. Clinton's already showed us how this works, but no, the Democrats refuse to remind them. People are stupid, 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 and they're stupid. America continually buys the bullshit argument that if you give Bill Gates, if you give the super rich another tax cut, things will get better. And they say, well, that doesn't work. Where have all the... We gave Ford billions and billions. What'd they do? They lost money. Well, think how much they would have lost if we hadn't given. You know, that poor super billionaire. Think of how many more people he would have had to lay off had we not given them the extra billions. It is just so crazy. They just refused. The people refused to remember. They just can't remember. The late 90s were so far back. They just don't have a clue what might have happened 6 or 8 years ago. They just can't remember. And so the Republicans explain, when the super rich get a tax cut, hey, you've been hired by a bum? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. So if you want to get a job, you got to give the super rich more money. And what do the super rich do? Do they build a factory and hire a bunch of people? No, they don't. They put that money in their pocket. Or they give it to a congressman because they know it's going to come back 100-fold. Oh, it's just making me sick.
Well, most ministers start their sermons, you know, with a joke just to relax everyone. But at one church, the pastor encourages you to giggle or laugh out loud or even cry throughout the whole service. CNN's Tom Foreman found out what's so funny about the holy laughter for AC360.
On a warm night in Tampa, young people are out looking for laughs. But hundreds are bypassing comedy clubs to get their chuckles at church and guffaws, roars, screams, all standard fare at the Laughing Church, where Dr. Rodney Howard Brown says the Holy Spirit is making folks howl.
They're laughing, they're crying, they're shaking, they're falling out of their seats. And I knew it had nothing to do with me, because you cannot take a crowd and make them do that.
You don't buy the fact that you're a funny guy.
Well, I use a lot of humor because I do use humor, but that's just the way I am.
Howard Brown was once a little-known South African preacher and part-time big game hunter. But he and his wife, Adonica, have fostered a global outreach program based in America and staffed by 70 people, all enthralled with holy laughter. The preacher says believers overcome with laughter have been recorded since ancient times in biblical passages about unrestrained joy. Yet it remains controversial, almost unknown in most other churches.
Because religion always wants to beat you down and make you dependent upon us like a drug. If I can make you feel guilty, then you'll come back next week, and I'll keep you in that place of guilt.
That's a very cynical view of religion.
Well, maybe I have a hard time with religion because I see what it's doing around the world. Religion feels its job is to condemn. Jesus didn't come to condemn.
Doctors outraged at Katrina arrests. Many say the doctors and nurses charged are heroes. So here we go again, because Bush didn't do his job, because Bush failed, because Bush made a mistake. Bush sat on his ass in Crawford, Texas, instead of giving some orders for some Katrina relief. They had roving gangs going through the hospitals, raping, murdering, stealing drugs, doing whatever they wanted to these old people. If I was that old and that helpless and there was roving gangs coming through playing pranks on us, yeah, give me a shot of something because I don't want to hang around. God forbid you're a decent-looking woman in her 30s and 40s when this roving gang comes tearing through the hospital because they've got something on their minds besides stealing money and drugs. But no, because the federal government, I mean, what was the mayor of New Orleans supposed to do? Call his personal National Guard? The 100,000 men he keeps in his pocket for emergencies, the city couldn't do anything. The state couldn't do anything. They needed federal help, and Bush just sat there. Bush don't care about black people. I think that's kind of obvious now. But because these people were helpless, because Bush didn't show up, because they had no other choice, they had to make a tough decision. And it's real easy for some asshole to sit in a robe or in a jury box and judge these people now, but put yourself in their position. There's 3 feet of water in the hospital. There's rats and dead people and every other goddamn thing floating by. And you got people groaning in their hospital bed saying, please help me. And you hear glass breaking. You hear gunshots being fired and they're getting closer. And what are you going to do? Turn these helpless people over to the thugs? Or, we're talking about people at the end of their life here. I'm not saying if you see a 9-year-old, shoot them in the head to save them from the bad guys. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone with advanced Alzheimer's, a heart that might last another 2 weeks or 30 days, you know, somebody at the very end of some bad cancers or whatever, their you know, life expectancy may be 2 weeks and maybe 6 weeks, and here the gangs are getting closer and closer. So some of these people took matters into their own hands, which I agree. I mean, I wasn't there. This is a guess on my part. But somewhere in here, let me see if I can find it. No, it's not in this article. I saw this on TV. They had the prosecutor on TV, and they said, why do you think these people did what they did? He said, hey, not my job to pick a motive. Nope, not me. Motives ain't my job. Well, of course motives are your job. How are you going to decide which charge to file against somebody if you don't know what their motives are? It's a little different to break into a house and go swimming in their backyard than it is to jump into a swim pool and you're saving the drowning kid. You know, the motive is everything. But they decided, no, let's file a bunch of charges. Let's kick up a bunch of dust. Let's not talk about George Bush. Let's talk about the doctors who got stuck there. Think, theoretically or statistically, if you're the doctor on duty when the shit hits the fan, you're kind of stuck there. And you can kind of understand some doctor living in his mansion 30 miles away. His car don't start. He can't make it in today, so it's all on you. Everything's up to you. The nurses are looking to you, doctor, to make some decisions here. Meanwhile, the gunshots, the breaking glass, it's all getting closer and closer. You need to make a decision, doctor. We need a decision now. Oops, sorry, the dead body just floated by. Make a decision, doctor. Doctor makes the only decision he knows how to make. What are you going to do? Hey, gang members, come over here. Here's a cute one. Blonde, you want this one? I think they did the right thing from the news I have about it. But no, they're going to find a way to go after the little guy because that's what the big guys do, sons of bitches.
This is Bart Cop Radio.
Went to the old P.O. box the other day, and you'll never guess what was in there. There was an envelope. So I did what anybody would do. I opened the envelope. It was from a man, I assume it was a man, named Cyclops. I'm not sure if that's his real name, or if that's his stage name, or if that's his internet name, or what. But this is from Cyclops. And inside was a cash donation. A not small cash donation. It was not a big, big cash donation, but it was a not small. A lot of times I get, does this guy, I wonder if he's listening, this guy in Kansas. I swear to God, I think it was Wichita. 2-3 times a year, he'd send me a dollar. And he'd say, dude, right on. Keep up the good work. Make that hammer count. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, dude, that dollar's going to make the difference. No two ways about that. And I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm grateful for every donation that comes in because, as you know, Bart the Gambler, I quit an actual paying job so I could sit at home and depend on the kindness of strangers to put food on my family. So it was a risk. Anyway, this is from Cyclops. Dated 728. How many have we really lost? Bart, one of the major differences between this... donut figure. Hello? Hello? Oh, you still got the wrong number. People don't understand. I got shit to do. Bart, one of the major differences in this war in Iraq and Vietnam is the realization by the American public that actual human beings are dying. See, in Nam, when we had the 5 o'clock follies, yes, I was there, U.S. Air Force 63 to 67, damn, that's a lot of time. That's 5 years if you get there early 63 and leave in late 67. We pretty much pretended that no Americans died in firefights or as the result of stepping on a daisy cutter, but the body count was always considerably lower than the actual numbers. It worked for a while, but then Americans saw the body starting to come home. The flag-draped coffins, the weeping mothers and fathers, and sons and daughters. The small towns burying 5, 10, 25 of their favorite sons. The football players, the prom king, the up-and-coming student. These visuals turn the tide. And those visuals can turn the tide again. It's no wonder the Bush administration does not want any photos taken at a GI funeral. And no wonder the great deserter will not attend one memorial service, the coward. Little sidebar here, and I think I mentioned this before. Doesn't hurt to mention it again, but what they would always do, Walter Cronkite would come on and say, we lost, oh God, it makes Iraq look smaller. I mean, what's going on in Iraq now is a real son of a bitch. But if you're old, you remember Walter Cronkite used to come on and say, we lost 45 since yesterday, but not to worry, they lost 3,000. And you think, well, we're winning this war. And he'd come on the next day. We lost 61 in Vietnam yesterday, but they lost 4,500. And you're thinking, boy, we're beating them now. But, you know, I think that's where they came up with the phrase, you know, no land wars in Asia, because they say the Chinese can send, they can line up 5 or 6 people shoulder to shoulder and send them towards you. And by the time you get to the end of the line, the people in line have had children who have grown up to be military age, so they will never, ever run out of bodies to throw at you, ever, never, ever. So land wars in Asia are a bad idea. And where's Iraq? Oh, that's right. It's in Asia. But anyway, we don't learn our lessons when we're Republicans. Back to Cyclops' letter. There are vets out there who know how many of their buddies were actually killed in action. They just don't know who to tell it to. We've seen none of that during this escapade by the Bush thugs because they don't want Americans to know the actual body count. It's as if this war is being fought on another planet. To this administration, the truth does not matter. I know you're reporting on your page 2,750 killed in action. I'd be willing to bet the actual number is twice that, and maybe more. It was in Nam. There are at least 49,000 GIs who have been wounded. The mainstream media doesn't report it. There are no video recordings of the many funerals, no written account. Yet many people I know here in West Palm Beach know someone who was either killed or wounded in Iraq or Afghanistan. It's the old 6 degrees of separation theory. People know how bad this really is, but they're just not talking about it. So I propose this, Mr. Bartkop. Put out the call, set up a central clearinghouse where people who do know someone who was KIA or wounded in action can report the names, dates, places, etc., quite separate from the Department of Defense numbers. Call it the Real Casualties of Bush's War.com or something similar. Get firsthand testimonies, photos, relatives who know a nephew, niece, husband, father, aunt, uncle, whatever, somebody who knows somebody killed or wounded in this ridiculous endeavor. Spread the word. It's the old theory that if you tell one person something, he'll tell 10 people who will tell 100 people who will tell 1,000 people. You can do this. Well, I don't think I can, but let's finish the letter. You reach enough people to make this happen. People will respond. Start the list. Record the names. When the central database is established, you can let the American people know how the lives of the Bush administration and this Republican Congress have killed more American GIs than the Department of Defense is reporting. Someone must try. By the way, I was going to send you this money anyway. You deserve it. Keep up the great work. Bart, keeping my name unavailable would be appreciated. Thanks, Cyclops. Well, let's hope Cyclops is not his real name. And I think this is a good idea, but I don't even know if the big websites would be big enough to do this. Daily Cause or BuzzFlash or one of those, I don't know that they could pull this off because you talk about a lot of manpower because someone's going to write in, I know a guy named Bob Johnson or Johnston who died. And it's like, well, now, dude, come on. Now, we got to have a full name. We got to have some kind of date of birth. You can't say Bob from Texas and count it or you're going to end up with 30 or 40,000 dead. This is going to take somebody with organizational skills, somebody with time, somebody with the staff. I mean, it'd be nice if the newspapers, if the network, somebody with the time, the money, and the staff would put this together. But no, they're too busy protecting Bush. They're too busy hiding the real number of killed in action. And you know, he's got a point in something that he didn't even mention. There's no accounting of any kind for the war. Not even, I mean, not the dead, not the money, not anything. You know, there's so many black budgets. I saw these figures the other day. Maybe it's in this stack of stuff I got, to quote the vulgar pig boy. But the, you know, they used to go to Duke Cunningham and say, dude, here's $50,000. Why don't you slip this? The bastard was adding things into the law in the middle of the night. They would pass a bill, you know, and go home. And then during the middle of the night, Cunningham would add a couple of sentences to this law that was already passed. And because it was super secret war, military, Pentagon stuff, we weren't allowed to see it. Nobody was allowed to see it. So they passed a secret law saying, our friend Archer Daniels Midland, if you own a grain company in Kansas and you employ between 4,000 and 4,100 people, you don't have to pay any taxes. See, that's how they do it. They don't pass a law saying all you grain people don't have to pay taxes. All you ethanol people don't have to pay taxes. You companies with more than 2,000 don't have to pay. No, they say if you're in Kansas and you do this and you got this many people and the CEO's name begins with a G, then you don't have to pay any taxes. And they said they did, I think, 6,000 of these, 6,000 times. I think that's the number. 6,000 times. You know, they call them earmarks, whatever. 6,000 different earmarks were slipped into these bills secretly, and it came up to $60 million or something like that. And you're just thinking, no wonder they would. You have to wonder why a guy would spend $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 million to hold on to a job that pays him $150,000 a year. And that's why, because they're getting this tremendous, they're getting trillions in bribes. Hell, that idiot Cunningham lived in a $5 million mansion, and he's making $140,000 a year? Why couldn't someone put two and two together? Hello? Part of where I'm going with this unaccountability stuff, let's say roughly at this writing, there's 2,600 soldiers dead. I think it's the last count I saw was 2,589. And that's even qualified. We talked about this. If you get shot in the head and they get you on the plane before you die, then you weren't killed in the war. I guess they write you down as a wounded or something, and then nobody bothers to change the wounded to the dead. 10 minutes later. So you're just listed as wounded in action. So yeah, Cyclops, I think, is right about this. They talk about 49,000 wounded. Well, did half of them die? Should we be adding 20,000 to the 2,000 that are recorded as officially being killed in action? But on top of that, Bush is paying these private contractors. Now, I don't know if this is retired military. See, this is probably the way to do it. They probably, just knowing how these thugs work, they probably contact you and say, dude, you used to be in special forces. Would you like to come back? And you say no. And they say, what if we pay you $10,000 a month? Would you come back? Now, remember, last time you did this, you got $1,500 a month. Now we're going to give you $10,000 a month to come back. And some guys probably say, yeah. But if you say no, they draft you. You just get a notice in the mail saying, dude, you're required by law, men with guns will come to your house. If you fail to appear, you're required to report to Fort Benning or Fort whatever to, you know, do you a little 30, 60-day catch-up training thing, and then we're shipping you out to Iraq anyway. So maybe you heard of this happening to your buddies. So when you get the call, you think, well, I can either be forced to go over there for $1,500 a month, or I can volunteer for the $10,000. I think I'll volunteer for the $10,000 or $20,000. See, again, we have no idea what Bush is paying these people. They could be paying them $50,000 a month. Each guy, we just have no idea. They're going to pay whatever it takes to get them over there. So let's say we've got 50,000 of those guys over there. And if half of them get killed, well, they're not in the Department of Defense rosters or budgets or anything. I mean, they're on someone's payroll, but again, there's billions and billions and hundreds of billions just disappearing over there. That's why they start a war. You don't start a war so you can have accurate accounting and keep track of every penny. Remember when they first kicked in Baghdad's doors, they were going around with these giant crates full of cash. Dude, you got some pull in this tiny town. Here's 100,000. Can you keep your people in line, say good things about us in your newspaper, and find a reporter to get on the air and tell us how great the Americans are? They drive 20 miles down the road. Here's another town. Dude, here's 100,000. Can you do this for us? That's how they're doing shit over there. They're doing whatever they can to make this theft go by, you know, stealthily. There's just no way in hell I could pull this off. There are something 43,000 bigger websites than BartCop.com. So, yeah, but even the great and wonderful Kaz, I don't think, could pull this off unless he had a big staff. If he had 12 people, you know, or maybe get 2 people in each state or whatever, this would really take some huge organization to try to pull this off. And again, all the follow-ups. It wasn't Bob Johnson, it was Bill Johnson, and it wasn't Johnston, it was John, you know, there'd be so much of that. And you couldn't put in any unverified things, so each time you get a name, you're going to have to contact somebody. I don't know if it's a funeral home or, you know, the local newspaper, whatever. You're going to have to verify each one of these. You're talking thousands, tens of thousands of phone calls, and there's just no way in hell I could even begin to make a dent in it, but I think you're right. The only thing we knew I've said this for years, the only thing we know for sure about these sons of bitches is that they are lying to us, they are covering up stuff, and we don't know what it is they're covering up. But when you look at their past, when they made secret deals with Hezbollah and the Iranians that we're fighting today, they made those illegal bastards secret deals to get into power in 1980. And then they turned around and gave them Stinger missiles. I don't know why they rewarded the bad guys. You know, you'd think you could say, hey, thanks, sucker. We're in office now. Keep your mouth shut or we're going to blow you up. You know, I guess that's what they did with the Taliban. But with the Iranians, they said, oh, okay, thanks for holding on those hostages. And those hostages, have you once in your life heard of one of those 444 hostages saying, why is George Bush president? Why are we rewarding these bastards that made us sit in torture? It wasn't exactly torture, but blindfolded and handcuffed. Can you imagine what it's like to go through an hour of that? What's it like to go through 400 days of that? Jesus. And you'd think once a night, if I was Lou Dobbs or if I was Ken Oberman or one of those people, I would try to get one of those guys on my show each night until they had all had their piece. Get them on there and say, how do you feel about the Bush family, the Bush and Reagan and Bill Casey and that whole group? You go to consortiumnews.com. It's all there. It's all sourced. It's all black and white, but nobody cares. But how do you feel about those bastards paying the terrorists to hold you longer just so they could get in power? It's like, oh, Bart, that's old news, water under the bridge. Why want to drag that out? Not that old canard again. Well, yeah, the reason we're in trouble now is because the sons of bitches weren't punished the last time. They broke major international laws, and they had people killed, they had people tortured. They did this to obtain power. Bill Clinton kicked Poppy's ass, and then, here I got one for you. For all we know, everything that came out about Clinton was financed. Oh, this is a big one. Now, check this out. I'm kind of adding something to Cyclops' deal here, but for all we know, they had this entire neocon initiative stuff all planned all during the 90s. Now, to ensure that if they get caught, they wouldn't be arrested, pulled out of office, impeached, all that. To ensure that, they wanted to inoculate themselves from that, so they fabricated an impeachment against the innocent guy, which was Bill Clinton. Now, think about that. If they knew that they were going to take these risks, if they knew that they were going to, say, blow up the World Trade Center, start a world war so they could invade any country with oil, steal their oil. Oil is power. You can't do anything without oil. You can't attack somebody. You can't fuel your planes. You can't move your trucks with your rocket launchers. You can't do anything without some oil. So if you control the oil, you can control everything, the whole planet. Knowing they were going to do that, wouldn't it have been a smart move to impeach Clinton over nothing and divide the country and have a real bitter atmosphere so then when they cheat their guy into power and the subject comes up, we ought to impeach this bastard for real crimes. The country goes, not again. We can't go through that again. Whatever it takes, we've got to avoid another impeachment. We can't go around impeaching every president every time. Now think about that. On the surface, it sounds sort of crazy, but if they had always planned to do this, say someone came to them in 95 and said, these Diebold machines, we can make this work. If you can get some different municipalities to get these Diebold machines in there, we can start taking power. Once we get a little bit of power, we can get more, and then we get more. And then, say, by the year 2000, we can put a guy in who's not qualified. We can put any man we want in the White House. And once we get that, now we got the military, we got the courts. We control everything. And to ensure that our guy doesn't get impeached, you start putting these Bush bastards under oath. One of them might get scared and start talking. Now we got major crimes. Now we got presidents going to prison. Now we got secretaries of state going to prison. We got secretaries of defense and vice presidents. And to avoid that, let's impeach the innocent guy and make a big stink, make it the biggest story in the history of communications. And if we can pull that off, if we can impeach Clinton and make it really ugly, then when it comes time to impeach our boy, people say, no, we just not going to go through that again. It's like going through a long-ass divorce, never been there, but if you went through a five-year divorce, you just might stay with the crazy bitch rather than go through another five-year divorce. It's just wild guessing here. I'm just thinking it wouldn't be worth it. And we don't know for sure that happened, but if you were going to pull off a worldwide coup, if you're going to steal all the power on the planet, that'd be a really nice thing to do, inoculate America against ever wanting to go through another impeachment. The sons of bitches. So, Cyclops, I'm sorry I couldn't do you the good that you were hoping I could, and I appreciate the compliment that you think that I could pull this off, but it really would take a team and a staff and a whole lot of spare time. I just don't have it. I've got to keep pedaling and keep these damn plates spinning just to get by, but I will try to put this on the page and get as many people as I can to at least notice the problem. In closing, it would be real nice if the sons of bitches in charge of the media, NBC could pull this off, USA Today could pull this off, CNN could pull this off. A lot of people could do it, but they just refuse because their job is to help Bush so they can get their precious tax cut so they can sell more bullshit stories about Clinton's cock instead of covering the real issues that are facing us. The sons of bitches.
Going back in time on the time machine. This is a flashback.
You say you've been in trouble all your life. Why is that?
I'm just one of those faces, you know. People never like my face.
D-ball!
If we succeed, generations to come will say of us now living that we mastered our moment.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love.
You have to be more politically aware in a day and age like this. It's impossible to close your eyes to it.
As South Vietnamese forces become stronger, the rate of American withdrawal can become greater.
Nobody told me that
peace in your mind, peace in the world.
We're selling it like soap, peace or war, that's the two products.
There was a fear that John could imperil the political existence of Richard Nixon.
John was daring to speak out.
We came here to say to all of you, apathy isn't it, and that we can do something.
Power to the people! Power to the people!
his activities were being monitored.
I was followed in the car, and my phone was tapped. I think they wanted me to know to scare me, and I was scared, paranoid.
The Immigration and Naturalization Service began deportation proceedings.
Will you stop speaking out against the war?
No, nothing will stop me. I'll always say what I feel. Our society is run by insane people for insane objectives, and I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that.
Their distortion of the Constitution was the greatest disloyalty to this country.
Lenin represented life, and Mr. Nixon and Mr. Bush represent death.
His message is still alive.
Our job now is to tell them that there is still hope. We must get them excited about what we can do again.
The U.S. versus John Lennon.
General Motors sold 400,000 cars. Toyota sold 240,000 cars, so about 60%. And Ford was 2,000 behind them. So if you remember, we ran these numbers last month. General Motors is worth $16 billion. Toyota is worth $190 billion. Toyota is 16 times bigger than General Motors as far as net value. But General Motors sells not quite twice as many cars. So is General Motors in the business to sell cars or to make a profit? I don't understand. What does it matter if you sell a billion hamburgers and you make a tenth of a percent of a penny per hamburger when you could sell five hamburgers and make 50 cents a piece and come out with a profit? I don't understand. Why Toyota is being outsold, but Toyota's got 16 times the value of General Motors. And everybody's just going to stand there and say, like, I don't know. Meanwhile, we're going to lose General Motors. We're going to lose Ford. All those people, all those either tens or hundreds of thousands of people who are getting pensions and stuff, and that's all going to hell. All those people, I don't know if they're going to be thrown on the, well, is there even going to be any more unemployment? Is there going to be any more welfare? Is there going to be anything when Bush has done ruining our economy? And now that he's ruined our economy, now he's going to take over first the Middle East. He's going to steal that oil. Then for all we know, he's going to attack France and England. Steal what wealth they've got? They're crazy. They're out of control. They've got the only military superpower on the planet, and they've got no morals about taking what they want. And if you don't like it, you're a traitor, and they're going to get the networks to spotlight you. You're going to be Max Cleland, the Osama clone, if you dare speak up against the guys that are raping the world. Oh, things are crazy. Things are crazy.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Spread your wings
This was on Markup.com before I saw it in the paper. Out of balance. Something is out of balance. Why is it that we barely bat an eye at a photograph of a dead child displayed prominently on the front page of a national newspaper, but we rise up in fury at the accidental or not bearing of a single female breast on national television? Oh, my Christ. Why is it that we contentedly sip our morning coffee next to an image of a blood-covered mother and her weeping, blood-covered son, then turn around and write an angry letter to the city council about the mother because she nursed her baby in public? Why is the human body as a study of suffering considered interesting, but the human body as a study of life considered indecent? Why do we protest the deportation of human flesh? Wait, why do we protest the depiction of human flesh unless that flesh is stilled by death or covered with blood? Oh, that's so good. I'm going to read it again. Why do we protest the depiction of human flesh unless that flesh is stalled? Fuck. Why do we protest the depiction of human flesh unless that flesh is stilled by death or covered with blood? If it's dead or bloody, that's good. Put it on the news. If it's a woman giving life to her baby, that's disgusting and I'm outraged. Oh, this is such a stupid-ass world. You know you're in big trouble when things would be better if old Bart was in charge. I could sit there and do shots of tequila and run this whole Megilla better than it's being run. I know some might call that ego. But it just seems so damn true. Show me war. Show me death. Please remind me that my comfortable suburban lifestyle is a blessing and that people are suffering all around me. Remind me to cherish my living, breathing children because some parents have had that opportunity ripped away from them. But also show me peace. Show me beauty. Show me humanity in all its forms. Can't tell if this lady's being... I kind of know where she's getting. And here, who am I to say? I think she's a poor writer. Life is sensational. It should be newsworthy, too. Jessica Reichard of Dublin, Ohio. Well, yep, that's just as true as it can be. You know, it's funny on television. You can see, I'm so old, at the beginning of every Gunsmoke show, he'd walk out, and Matt Dillon would walk out in the center of the town, and music would go, dun, 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 pew, pew. The guy'd shoot at Matt and miss, of course, and Matt would shoot the other guy, kill him, dead bastard right there. They open every show with him killing a guy in the middle of the street. That's okay. But, oh, a titty? Oh, are you kidding me? With children in the room? What are you talking about? You can't put a titty on there with the children in the room.
Honest to God, what is with these people? They're all a bunch of sick psychos. I mean, this would explain, remember Mr. Horsley? He's an anti-abortion activist who puts the names of abortion doctors on his website and then crosses them off when they get killed, right? He went on Hannity and Combs and actually told Alan Combs that apparently he had sex with various fruit and a mule.
If we had a warm watermelon out in the field, I might give it a name.
I might give it a name. I would do it. I've done mules. I've done barnyard. No wonder they make the big leap from not choosing your sexual orientation. Yeah, it's pretty much assigned. To bestiality and polygamy. I mean, Newt Gingrich, how many mistresses does he have before he stops, waxing moral on me, Gingrich, O'Reilly, he's got to do it with a falafel. He needs foodstuffs or sponges from the sea. Rush needs a box of Viagra when going on a trip with 11 guys to the Dominican Republic. Excuse me, what was that all about? Jeff Gannon, a male prostitute pimp who had a website, no journalism credentials, and a fake name, who got press credentials to be part of the White House press corps. He was a pimp and a gay prostitute. And now the president runs around groping women around the world. I guess we should be happy he's groping women and not call Rove. Ew. Oh. So here's what our president learned at the G8 summit. No means nein. Niet. No. Which translates beautifully into many Latin-based languages. That's what our president went to Germany. That's what he went to Russia to learn. To the G8 summit to learn. No means no.
You experiment with anything that moves when you're growing up sexually, it's you're naive and you know better than that. You know yourself. You if it's warm and if it's damp and it vibrates, you might in fact have sex with it.
Have you ever had sex with a washing machine?
Well, I had never really thought about it, but the fact of the matter is if it shakes, and there have been times I'm sure when in reality that would be an option.
Oh!